Well, good morning and welcome to Table of Grace. My name is Chad. If I've not gotten the chance to meet you, I would love to meet with you afterwards. And so as you go, I'll be in the back and stop by and say hi. And I want to thank those of you who are joining us online. We're glad that you're part of our worship as well. At the end of your row, you have a black attendance pad. If you would, take the opportunity to sign in. Let us know that you're here. If you're a guest with us, you want to share with us your phone or your email, a member of our welcome team will be in contact with you this week and just see if we can answer any questions. We also want to let you know that as you leave today that we have a free gift for you. So we have coffee mugs, or you can have a t-shirt if you would like a t-shirt, because we have new t-shirts in. For those of you who have been wondering and been asking, we do have those, so stop by and pick one of those up on your way out. Well, we're continuing our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And this is really a sermon series for all of us who have ever struggled with prayer, who have ever wondered what you should pray for, what you should say, how does prayer even work, what it's all about. Then this sermon series is for you as we look at this model prayer that Jesus gave us. And my hope throughout this sermon series is that all of us, whether we haven't been praying enough, whether we feel like we should pray more, whether we're just kind of wondering what it's all about, we still have questions, that all of us will begin to pray with more shameless audacity, that we would be bold and confident as we pray. And not only that, we would begin to live out this tremendous prayer that Jesus gave to us. And so we've been working our way backwards through the Lord's Prayer, kind of allowing the prayers that we normally pray to be reoriented into the way Jesus taught us to pray. So last week we started with prayers of help as we talked about temptation and evil, and next week we're going to talk about needs. And I know so often that when we go to prayer, it's really for the needs that we have. So we're going to have a chance to talk about that next week and how important it is that we actually do pray those prayers. But today I want to talk about the prayer, or maybe even the feeling that sometimes we feel inside, and is that feeling of, I'm sorry. In particular, we're going to look at this connection between being forgiven and forgiving others. So I want to look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 6. There's two places in our scriptures that we have the Lord's Prayer. We have it in Luke, and we also have it in Matthew. And so this week I'm going to look at the passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says this. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Well, I'm not much of a gamer, but I love Mario Kart. You know, Mario Kart's been a part of my life for, well, as long as I can remember. Every game system I had because of Mario Kart. And I even remember that there was a time when my oldest daughter was about 2, maybe 3 years old, and I came in from work and getting ready to play some Mario Kart, because at this point I'd beat the game, but I want to unlock all the characters, you know, get all the coins, you know, unlock all the cars. And so I would just play it through every night, and she tells me, Daddy, I washed the brick fireplace with Mario Kart. So she actually took the disc of my game and washed the fireplace. Needless to say, I couldn't play it anymore. And I even took it those days where you take it and you're like, can you buff this out? And people would laugh. They're like, there's no amount of money that would buff out all these scratches. And so I couldn't play Mario Kart anymore. And to my knowledge, she's never said, I'm sorry. Just want to throw that out there. So this weekend, of course, you know, my son says, hey, I want to have a Mario Kart tournament, and I'm all for this. So basically, we're gonna race each other, and then whoever wins gets to race the next person. We have this tournament. We're going to see who is the best Mario Kart player in our family. And I kept losing, which is very frustrating. But anyway, we're doing this tournament. And so my youngest daughter, Leah, says to me, she says, I want to play. And she says, I really don't know how to play. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll play you. And so we get our car. She picks her car. She picks her character. And she says, how do I play? I say, you hold down the A button. As soon as that light turns green, you hold down the A button. Use the joystick to steer. And then there's buttons on top. So if you want to shoot little turtle shells at me, I'm like, that's the best part. You know, you want to do that, you shoot those at me. She's like, okay, I got it. So we start the race. we're racing, and then she's getting really frustrated. She's like, I can't play, and she's running into the wall. She's getting stuck, and we're like, are you holding down the A button? Yeah, yeah. So we're stopping. We're like, okay, don't get frustrated. You can play. You can do this, and I'm driving backwards on the track, you know, and it's telling me, U-turn, you know, but I'm driving backwards on the track. I'm like, come on, keep playing. So we keep playing, you know, round one, round two, round three. We're coming to the end of the race. And then right at the end, she's playing, she's holding down A button, she's steering, and then I just zoom right past her, and I get first. And I go, yeah. And then she says, I hate this game. And she starts crying, and she gets up, and she runs off. And I look at Brandy, and she goes, can you not help yourself? And I thought, I didn't realize what round I was in. No, I can't. And so I had to go to her room, and I'm like, I'm really sorry. And then she tells me, she goes, I always get 12th place, and I just wanted to know what it was like to win. I know, that's what I felt too. And so I'm still saying, I'm sorry. And that's this moment in the Lord's Prayer where we have this, really this phrase, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. It's really a prayer of I'm sorry. But it's not just a prayer for us, it's also a call to action. You see, it's not just about us. There's these times when we need forgiveness, but there's also this time where we need forgiveness for others. Now, if you've grown up in church or you've been to a funeral or other occasion in which they have the Lord's Prayer, then perhaps you might have prayed it this way, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you notice, I kind of messed up when I was reading the scripture, right? Because that's what kind of naturally wanted to come out. And the way that that tradition works is that is a tradition of a translation of this line in the Lord's Prayer, and it goes back to the 1500s, and William Tyndale, when he first translated our version of the scripture into English, and so he came to this line in which it literally in Greek is debt. But he thought he didn't want people to get mixed up because of the financial metaphor in terms of that. He didn't want people to think about money when they were praying this prayer, and so he translated it trespasses. And then that's the version of the prayer that went into the Book of Common Prayer that the Anglican Church used and influences our worship services even today. And so that's why we pray trespasses. But I actually like this metaphor of debt, because we all understand what it is to be in debt. You know, whether you've had credit card debt, student loans, cars, houses, whatever it might be, you know that feeling of being in debt. In Proverbs, it tells us that the borrower is slave to the lender. We know what that feels like. And we can look on our bank statements and know what that looks like. We can see how many payments it's going to take for us to get out of debt. We can track it in our Excel or our QuickBooks. I think Jesus might have been onto something when he used this metaphor of debt to talk about the spiritual reality of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But have you ever noticed that it's kind of difficult to forgive? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is in this conversation with his disciples in which he's talking about really the conflicts that oftentimes we find ourselves in. He's talking about relational conflict. You know, what do I do whenever I have this disagreement with a friend? And Jesus says, you go to them, and if they won't hear you, then you take a group of friends, and you go to them. If they still won't hear you, then you take them to the church. And so he's in the midst of this conversation of what do we do when we overstep each other's bounds, when we have this moment of trespass, when we bump into each other in these moments in life. And then so Peter asked the question that most of us are always thinking, right? Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? How about 7 times? Which, you know, sounds kind of great. You know, it's like, okay, I understand what you're saying, Jesus. And so how about 7 times? I mean, that's a lot. If somebody keeps doing something over and over and over, how about 7 times? That's pretty generous, right? And then Jesus, and I love this, it's really funny because Jesus says, not just 7 times, but 77 times. Or in some translations it says, 70 times 7. Jesus saying, oh no, not just a couple times and on the eighth time you're done, but how about 77 times? There's even more than that. Peter, you don't even understand this reality. Because why stop at 8? If you're just being generous, why not just keep going? It's a way of viewing the world. It's a way of viewing our relationships in terms of QuickBooks and Excels and ledgers. This person harmed me. How many times do I have to forgive that debt before we cancel the account completely? 7 times. That sounds pretty nice. And Jesus says, you don't even understand what I'm saying. So he begins to tell him this story. And this is the story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 bags of gold. And since he was not able to repay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. So Jesus begins the story that there's this king. He managed the accounts, and he had this servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. And basically, that was 200,000 years worth of a day's wage. So in other words, Jesus is kind of riffing on this exaggeration that Peter wanted to start with 7, and Jesus is saying, no, it's 70 times 7. So he tells him this story that's just so exaggerated. A man owes 200,000 years worth of wages, worth of money. And his king says, it's time for you to repay. I'm calling the debt, because that's what kings do. They manage the accounts. It's time for you to pay up. Well, the man can't repay. So the king does a short sale. I'm going to sell you, your wife, and your kids. We're going to take what we can get, and we're going to use that to help pay this debt. It's a lot of debt to pay off. But at this, the servant fell on his knees before him, and he begs, be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. You see, the servant who, he hears that he owes this tremendous amount of money, does the only thing that he can do, and that is fall on his knees and say, have pity on me. How about give me a little bit extra time? Maybe if you give me a little bit of extra time, I can continue to work and I continue to pay this off. But do you realize how there's really no extra time? 200,000 years, no amount of time will be able to repay this debt. It's almost equivalent to owing $9 billion. So imagine this, if I owed you $9 billion and you said, you know what, it's time to pay up. We got to buy the kids, some new shoes. So I'm going to need my $9 billion back. And then I were to say to you, just give me a couple more days. I bet I could come up with it. That's essentially what's happening. Because there's no amount of time that's going to come up with $9 billion. But the king looked on this servant, and he had pity on him. So that word pity in Greek is the word splagnon. It's the word splagnon. It's an awesome Greek word, splagnon. It's the word in which we get our word spleen. It's a word for kind of your guts or your intestines or maybe your belly. Because sometimes we talk about the heart and the head. The king was looking at this debt in terms of the mind and the logic, but in this moment he looked at it in terms of splagnon. And he had pity. And we also translate that word compassion or mercy upon this man. This king felt something for him. He had a connection to him. He saw him as a man and not just a person who had to repay something. That he moves from this place where he says, it's just business, it's not personal. But all of a sudden, splagnon, it becomes personal. And he looks at him and he says, you know what? We're going to move to a new system. We're not going to be in this system that we all know of, in which you've borrowed more than you can possibly repay, or you've overstepped your bounds and you've trespassed. We're going to move to this new system. It's not MasterCard. We're going to move to this system of grace. And he forgave the debt. But Jesus goes on with the story. He says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, or about 100 days worth of wages. And he grabbed him and he began to choke him. And he says, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And the servant fell on his knees and begged him, listen to this, we've heard this before, be patient with me, just give me more time and I'll pay it back. But the servant refused. Instead, he went off and had that man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. This servant who is forgiven $9 billion would not forgive this man who owed him 100 days worth of wages. But Jesus continues. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called in the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. See, Jesus is telling this story about two systems. There's a system that we know of. It's a system of debt, of borrowing, of overstepping our bounds, of trespass, of ledgers, of QuickBooks, of bookkeeping, of keeping accounts. And there's this other system of mercy and of grace. And this servant came to the king, unable to repay. And the king switches systems and said, how about grace? But the servant left, unchanged and unmoved by this grace that was shown to him, and immediately went back to this old system, found a person who owed him money, and said, you will pay me back. And the king brings him in and says, how are you unmoved? I had pity on you. I had compassion and mercy. Why did you not show that to others? But then there's this moment about torture. This seems kind of harsh. But remember, this story is completely exaggerated, right? We've got, you know, Lord, should I forgive 7 times? No, 77 times or 70 times 7. And then there's this man who owes $9 billion. And so there's this exaggerated story because it's a parable. Jesus is telling a story that mirrors a reality. And so in this moment, Jesus is also telling us a lot about reality. And that is that you and I have a choice. You and I have a choice of which system we're going to live in. We can choose to live into this system of MasterCard. We can choose to live in this system of the world. We can choose to live in this system of he said and she said. We can live in this system of, do you know what happened to me? We can live in this system of saying, do you know how I've been wronged? How I've been hurt? I can't believe they said that. We can live in this system, or we can live in this system of grace and of mercy. And neither system is perfect, and both systems have some mystery to them, and both systems are hard. Both systems have a cost. But Jesus says, you have a choice. But he says, I want you to know that this system leads to torture and hurt and broken heart, not from the outside. It's not something that God does to us. It's something that's on the inside. Because when you and I keep looking and keep checking the books, we're going to find we're never going to be repaid. When you and I keep looking and checking the books and we have guilt and shame, there's no way we can ever repay that. There's no way we can ever fix it. There's no way we can ever make it right. And Jesus is saying, why not live according to this system? You see, his response to Peter is that, Peter, you're living according to this system of the world, and while you're being generous, you're completely missing the new reality. You have to die to that system if you're going to be born again into a new reality, to the kingdom of God reality. You see, when you and I pray this prayer of forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that this prayer is not meant to be prayed one time, but it's a prayer that we pray every day, that we remind ourselves that we are forgiven, and that's a flow of forgiveness that then goes to other people, that there's a present reality and a present flow to this prayer, that we pray it as we go on our way, that we pray it as we have encounters, that we go, that hurt, that was wrong. We have to keep praying this prayer to remind ourselves that we are forgiven and that we are to forgive others. But of course, when we talk about forgiveness, we can't overlook the fact that in a room like this, that so many of us have had those moments in which unthinkable and unspeakable things have happened to us. And that when we pray this prayer, it's not meant to force us into a reality we're not ready for, but maybe we pray that prayer for that future day when we can walk into forgiveness and in release to what happened to us. We can walk into healing. And there will be times when we need people to come beside us and next to us and help us to walk into the reality of that prayer, whether they're friends or counselors, therapists, whoever it might be, to help us walk along that path. Because forgiveness is not about condoning things that people do to us. Forgiveness is not about being a pushover. Forgiveness is not about avoiding conflict. Forgiveness is not about letting people off the hook all the time. Forgiveness is not about the fact that sometimes there's consequences. And forgiveness is not always about reconciliation, because it takes two people to reconcile and to bring things together, and maybe both people don't want to do that. Forgiveness is opening our hearts so that the grace that God is giving to us flows through, because forgiveness is not about forgiving people under our own power. When we pray that prayer, we say, God, open up our hearts to your grace and mercy, because I can't do it on my own. And I know it's not about me. It's about me and others in my life. Adam Hamilton, who's the pastor of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, he talks about it in this way. He says, three of the most powerful words in our English language are, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. When we pray this prayer, that's what we're saying. We're saying, God, I'm sorry. And we're saying to our neighbor, I forgive you. Not under our own power, but the forgiveness that God is giving to us and through us for the whole world. And I believe when we experience that genuine forgiveness, when we leave this system of ledgers and we go to the system of grace, to the kingdom of God, when we die to that system, when we allow the grace of God to transform our hearts, to be born again, to be alive in resurrection life, those are the words that transform the world. I am sorry, and I forgive you. Will you pray with me? God, as we come together in this place, we come opening up our hearts before you. Opening up those times in which others have hurt us. Opening up our hearts to those times in which we're not sure that we can accept your forgiveness. And and we lay it before your feet, Lord God. And we confess to you, God, that we have debts. Debts against you, debts against other people. And Lord, we confess to you, we cannot pay these debts. But we need your forgiveness, your grace, Lord God. And we know it's not cheap, and it costs you everything. Because you love us. So Lord, may we pray that reality, may we live that reality, that we would know your forgiveness and your love. And may we show that to others. And Lord, for those of us here who have deep hurts and deep wounds, Lord, may you give us the courage to release people even when they will never ask for it, so that we would know the forgiveness and the release that you're offering to us in that forgiveness. That we would know your healing, even if it takes days or years. May we pray this prayer, knowing that it's a promise for the future. Future that you guarantee to us. So Lord, we lay this before you. We open up our hearts. And now I invite all of us to pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the power and the glory forever. Amen.